Now, does anyone know who is Taylor Swift? Yeah. Almost everybody, right? Yeah, he's a songstress of our day. Now, she's among the highest paid singer and the highest paid country pop singers, songwriter in America. She was signed to her first record label by a man called Scott Borchetta. I'm not going to talk about Taylor Swift. I want to talk about Scott Borchetta. Borchetta was interviewed by CBC a few days ago, how he signed Taylor Swift to his then newly established record label. When asked how Borchetta discovered Taylor Swift and her like to sign, there was the time Taylor Swift was only 14 years old, and unknown teenagers. How would he know a certain artist will be successful? Once you sign an artist, you pour a lot of money into her, and then you try to make her success. And he simply answered, connection. You look for the artist who can connect. Make connection. Further on, Borchetta indicated, all audience come to concert to make connection or want to feel connected. He is looking for artists who can make connection. Now, we are a generation looking for connection. The use of high-tech media actually isolates human-to-human touch. Think about that. Now, what is the most common picture shown in Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat? A plate of food or place of food, right? And also, or they have pictures of friends going somewhere to have fun. Now, come to think about it. Are you seriously interested in every picture your friend sends you? Mostly not. Why should I care about somebody who is going to eat some food? And I'm not going to get it anyway. What's the matter of it? I don't care about that too much. Probably I just flip through all these pictures. Why should I care about my friend going to cruise? I hate cruise anyway. It's just me, okay? Why? yet, we find these are not significant connections. These are not significant connection. Now, the only time I feel like I'm really looking hard into the pictures is when my son posts his play on Facebook, I may get interested, right? I may. Not necessarily, but I may. Or because this is a connection already made, not with the picture, not with the communication. It's an already made connection because he is my son. Or this person is one of your close friends. Deep down in our hearts, we human beings want to be connected. A recent research shows that when people are use less Facebook, the person is happier. Okay? If one uses less Facebook, the person is happier because, only because, he will take the time to use Facebook to go out and meet his friends or her friends. Okay, so a person is much more happier to meet with his or her friends face to face than connecting with Facebook. But the problem is, social media is cheap. Just listening to a song is cheap. Saying hello through social media is so cheap that I do not even have to move my lips. Just tapping on the phone makes me feel like connecting. Is it really connecting? Think about it. You tap on the phone, then you meet the person later. It is connecting. But if you just tap on the phone, but it's never meeting the real person, it is not real connecting. It is just an illusion of connecting. So a lot of times we just continue to feed ourselves with the illusion of connection by social media or some other means. The preaching of John the Baptist has an important message for us. The preaching of John is rather concise and interesting. As far as we know, John's preaching can be summed up pretty easily. One word, repent. Just one word, repent. In the text, there is a few things we need to pay attention to. The first part is the background. Luke pay a lot of attention towards the time of John the Baptist. It is a signature of Luke, the writer of the Gospel, for sure. However, I believe Luke has more in his mind. This is the time right after Herod the Great, the last king of Jews allowed by the Roman Emperor, Tiberius Caesar. After the death of Herod the Great, Caesar Tiberius divided up Judah into four regions and made the sons and nephews of Herod the Great to be tetra. Tetra means a quarter. He's a ruler of a quarter of Judea. And on top of it, there's another guy who is called Pontius Pilate, who is the governor of Judea. So you have Pontius Pilate, and then you have four rulers ruling four different regions of Judea. So what does it tell us? It tells us, first of all, Caesar Tiberius did not trust Jews. He did not trust Jews to rule the Jews. So he can only give them a little piece of land they can rule. And on top of it, is a governor. It's a title ring. He is reigning in the Jews at that time. And of course, the Jews were not happy. They were not happy with it. How can we? Well, this is the last great king, Herod the Great, and then after him, everything fell apart. So they are thinking, maybe this is the time the Messiah has to come to deliver us. No human can deliver us anymore. So we are looking forward to the Messiah. They are looking forward to somebody who can help them, who can deliver them from the tyranny of Caesar. And John the Baptist was connecting with the generation. The Jews was right. The Messiah was about to come because they knew they are so far away from God and they need the Messiah now. In this sense, they were correct. John knew it very well. When everybody is looking for the Messiah, John told them, they are right. You're right. You're right, looking forward to the Messiah. But here Luke is setting the tone. This is the time when everybody were hoping eagerly the coming of the Messiah, and this is at this time John connected to the generation of his time. That Messiah is coming. Yes, John is the person of his time. There's also an interesting piece of information. John was preaching from the wilderness. John's preaching had been attracting a huge audience. Yes, he's connecting like a Taylor Swift to his audience. Doesn't matter if it is a movie, a song, what makes us connected is something I can identify with. What makes us connect is a character in a movie, or the lyrics of the song, or the melody of the song that I can identify with, that I have echo with what they say, or what they do, or what have they gone through. I can echo with the lyrics. When I can feel the feelings of the character, I'm connected. We all heard about those drama or movie which is known as the tearjerkers, right? Because the tearjerker, they have a formula. They have a formula that we can identify and echo with the character in a drama or the movie. I've never watched that TV drama. TV drama is called This Is Us. Is that right?
Yes.
That is a real tearjerker, is that right? That's what I heard. There must be something there that is making connection. Because we can identify, maybe because I have gone through some sort of experience that is very similar or similar type. And I am connected. John said, hey, you are looking for the Messiah? Here is something. Yes, the Messiah is coming. But there's something you have to do. John's message is simple. Proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Now, this is an important message. John requested repentance because the judgment is coming. In order to connect to God again, to connect to what is important again, human beings must repent. And repent comes with a demand. Baptism. Because John was preaching a baptism of repentance. Without the action of baptism, repentance is not happening. Repentance requires a series of action, or at least reaction. Baptism is an action driven by the desire of repentance. So we can say baptism is a reaction triggered by the desire to repent. And John put repentance and baptism side by side. If connecting by social media alone is cheap, repenting without baptism is also cheap. Cheap repentance and cheap connection is never going to make it. Why baptism? At least at John's time, for people who repent, he has to be baptized. In order to be baptized, this person has to walk to where? Outside of their city. They have to go to the River Jordan to be baptized. Because John baptized people by the wilderness of the Jordan River. At least you have to walk there. Then baptism is very important because when we have baptism, it becomes a true repentance. Now, repentance can be very cheap. From generation on, a lot of people talk about faith is about what you believe in your heart. Faith is about what you believe in your heart. So in this generation, there are a lot of research that says more people have faith, but less people come into church. Because there's always a myth that faith is a matter of the heart. But they do not understand church is a tool, it's a place that you act out your faith. Baptism is very important in a way that now repentance means, okay, I'm wrong, okay, I keep it in my heart. sorry, Paul, I beat you up last week, but I know I'm wrong, I repented. Probably the other way around. No, he's the Kung Fu master, I'm not. Okay? I repent, but it's all in my heart. But baptism means something. Baptism means, hey, I am wrong. And I'm coming up here and I say, I am wrong. Why do I need to be baptized again? Why do I have to have the baptism of repentance? Because I'm telling you, I am wrong. Right? And again, it's no longer cheap. It has its cost. This generation, like the generation of the past, looks for connection. Someone who can make connection again. We would say, I feel connected. However, connection is never a one-way street. Connection is never a one-way street. Connection has its requirements. Like repentance requires baptism, connection has its own requirement. Do something to get connected. Step out to make the connection possible. There was a boy and there was a girl. The boy liked the girl, but he always kept it in his heart. Will they ever connect? No. Last week, Pastor Sam and a few of our leaders went to a seminar about ministry to the second generations. In fact, many researchers researching on two generations of Christians have also pointed out the same thing. Actually, there's nothing new. It doesn't matter if it's in ethnic Chinese church or ethnic church or it's in church globally. It's just the same problem. Yes. Part of it is connection. Our second generation perceived the church to be irrelevant to their generations. The number of churchgoers has decreased because, and a lot of young people are not going to church because they find the church irrelevant. In simple words, they don't see what they care is the thing the church cares. Or the younger generation found the church disconnected with them. They do not feel connected. The younger generation found themselves connected to God, but they do not feel connected to the church anymore. The church is talking about something they cannot echo. They cannot identify. This is not my life. This is not the life I live. Or still simpler yet, the younger generation cannot echo to what the church leaders are doing and saying. Then the church becomes irrelevant and disconnected. In order to make a connection, actually, everybody has to take a step forward. We all want to be connected. I think a lot of younger people, they felt disconnected to church, but they originally have expectation. They expect the church to be something. So they have somehow invested themselves in the church for some time, then they find it is irrelevant, so they step back. In order to make a connection, can we make one more step? The word repent means turn around. The older generation has a direction and the younger generation have another direction. Can we both turn around so that we can talk face to face? Take a step forward. A month ago, with the Cantonese congregation, we started a dialogue between generations about two issues. Now, the issues is not very, is not the most important or the most progressive issues in this whole wide world. But this is something that could disconnect the two generations. One topic is about the legalization of marijuana. And the other topic is how the church would look at homosexuals. Obviously, at the beginning, before we designed it, I have worries. Because our Cantonese congregation tends to be older, and they have a very set opinion about what should be right and what should be wrong. But our younger generation, they have very different ideas. So, could it become the clash of the titans? So, I was kind of worried, so I asked, okay, the elders of the church, please come. Okay, in case somebody want to say something too harsh, make sure you clam down all the unnecessary harsh words. So it was the best attended Sunday school time for some time. The first time there was like 50 people, and the second time we have 70 people attending. And things went very smoothly. Each side will present their own idea. Each side will tell them why they think it this way. And the other side will tell them what we have been learning and hearing doesn't make sense to us. We may have the same idea, but we just don't do it the same way you do. Repentance means turn around. Can we both turn around so that we can talk face to face, or we have already made a decision for the other side? Or have we ever talked to each other? I understand it is very difficult for the young to talk to the leaders. I do believe with the English congregation, there's the two-generation kind of social issue is not the thing that drives us apart. But I think that English congregation has gone through a long time with the Cantonese congregation because none of us has repented and talked at that time. They become disconnected, and some will find it disfranchised. I understand it is very difficult for the young to talk to the leaders. There is so much fear. The leaders hold so much authority. The younger one has difficulty to say it. In a church, a lot of time, the church members have something to say. They don't want to talk to the pastor because they think the pastor is so authoritative. When they talk to him, it's not right. It's fearful. It's fear that prevents us from talking to each other. Turn around. Turn around from your fear. When I was in seminary, I have this experience. And I'm going to talk about the former president of the seminary I used to serve. And he died last year, so I think I am free to talk. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but we are all human. Now, this is a very good man. A very godly man. he is the really good person that he and somehow sometimes I don't understand. In the seminary, there's not much administrative policy, so everything we'll just sit down and talk and go over it. And there's one but because this man is such a good man, anybody who come up to him to ask for favors, he'll give. Okay, he'll give. So we end up with somebody who has the same qualification but has been in the seminary for like 20 years, having the same salary with a guy who just graduated from a PhD for 2 years, because he came up to the president and said, "I have great needs. I have great monetary needs." And actually, his family is the wealthiest among all. But he perceived himself has great needs because he has been so used to having all that he needs or all that he wants. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anybody, but my president is such a good man, so anybody who come up with him and show him I really need it, he'll give. So this is the kind of way he runs the seminary. I really respect him. I consider him the one who gave me the opportunity to really develop myself. But there are times I find, and a lot of among our colleagues, we got so frustrated because this guy said, "Okay, my department needs that kind of thing, and so he'll give to this department. And what about the other department? Okay, we are just as important as that department." Okay, and so now for Chinese, it's difficult to walk up to the office of the president to say anything, or much less complain, or this kind of discussion. We want to have a good relationship with him. I respect him. He holds a lot of authority, and it is a good authority at that. But somehow, sometime, thing has to be done. So reluctantly, I walk into his office, and frankly, and tell him what I think. It didn't sound so bad after all. It sounds really bad before I walk up, okay? But during and after, it was not that bad. Like I said, he's a really good person. He's a godly man, and he knows. So eventually, the seminary has a salary scale. So nobody can just walk up and say, "I want a raise." Of course, there's still flexibility, but it's no longer whoever walk up. It's not that bad. And also for the older generation, I think there's a lot to learn. We always think that, at least for me, I'm older, I think that I have the answers already. I have a joke in Cantonese. You may or may not catch. It says, when older people said they have a lot of experience, they will say, I've eaten in more salt than you have eaten rice. Yeah, this is a Cantonese way of saying, I've eaten more salt than you eaten rice. 食鹽多過你食米. Have you heard it? Heard about it? Okay. So it means I have so much more experience than you do. But of course, nowadays, all the health specialists, expert will tell you, this is the reason why you are sick. Okay, if you're eating so much salt, you have hypertension. Right? Experiences does not always add up. experience does not always add up. That time, we need to be humble because time has changed and a lot of things we do not understand anymore. Let's turn around, take a step forward, and listen. There are always things for them to say. It used to be the time that whoever dyed his or her hair a punk. There was a time. There was a time. Hey, look. So many people are dyeing their hair. Okay? It used to be the time whoever have tattoos are gangsters. Right? Don't let me see your tattoo. But I don't think it is only for the gangster, right, tattoo? Now, I'm not advocating it, but still, it's no longer the same. It's no longer the same. I will encourage each of us, repent and turn around. Older does not mean more righteousness. Of course, the younger also does not have the license to be unreasonable too. Then we can connect again. Take a step forward. We may need to have a lot of conversation to make sure what other people are thinking. Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you. Thank you for bringing us all here together as a church. And Lord, you give us the strength to repent and be baptized. This is the only way we can connect to you, God, again, and to each other again. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.